Hello and welcome to At Least You're Not Me. I'm Jason Stamp. This is
Dan Barron.
And we are no way as jolly as we sound right now. We're going to delve into some real problems with real people. So thank you for listening. If you're listening, anybody, all of you, none of you, mum, someone, you reckon anyone's listening?
Not a single person.
Not a single person.
I'm barely speaking, so.
Yeah, I'm going to turn this off. Let's crack on. So At Least You're Not Me, this show is about people's bad luck and needing advice for how to improve their lives, and we feel we're the people that can not so much make that better, but pick it apart and make it worse, if anything.
Yeah, make ourselves feel better that we're not them.
Yeah, I think it's a very British thing that when you're having a bit of a crap time, you seek out the person having a worse time.
Yeah, essentially.
Exactly, and recently I'm seeked out a lot for this kind of thing, so it's amazing. So
yeah.
I would like to try and level it up a bit, find out, yeah, I'm not quite the loser I think I am, so that would be amazing. A bit like human top trumps.
Yeah, and it's not a high bar, is it, really?
Not really. No, let's go with it. So what we've done is we have looked for inspiration from the people on the street, real people. You know, well-respected publications, I'd like to say. I don't think we should give them a shout-out.
I am currently holding That's Life, the summer 2017 edition.
Yeah, and I've gone with Chat, It's Fate, Midsummer 2017.
Should we go with a bang?
I think go with the hard one and then see if we can turn it around.
So, now, do we bury the lead or do you want the headline first?
Oh, I think go with the headline. Okay. That's what's drawn you to that magazine.
It kind of was. Front page. Was I crazy? So desperate, I seduced my own dad for a baby.
Okay. Okay, it's straight in. It's quite hard here, episode one.
It's a tale of romance against the odds.
Romance against the odds is something people in certain parts of the country say stereotypically. Yeah.
If anyone's interested, it's on page 8 if you want to read along.
They shouldn't have coursework to take care of them. You've highlighted a lot of stuff in there.
I've got a lot of highlights. It's a fascinating tale of, Romeo and Juliet stuff.
I don't know if you've ever read Romeo and Juliet, but this sounds different just from the title.
Yeah, but no one dies. Well, actually,
don't ruin the ending.
Sorry. I might have spoken a bit too soon, actually.
All right, go for it.
So essentially, we have the tale of Jenny, who's just broken up with her husband, Robert, the father of her two children, Samantha and Alex. And so it's sort of...
Is that the granddad's kids, then?
No,
the husband wasn't her dad.
No, the husband is the father of Alex and Sam.
Right.
But she's broken up with him, and now she's gone to stay with her dad to help get over the divorce. She's feeling a bit low.
And the logical thing to be doing would be, I need to feel good about myself, but not in a father-daughter kind of way.
He broke up with her mum when she was a child. Right. So he didn't see her much. You know, he was an absent father-ish. You know, Christmas, apparently it's Christmas cards, occasional, they'd see him occasionally. So not the sort
hand
of...
job.
So, he says he got there, wasn't sure to expect when she got there. But luckily, good old Dorothy's there, the stepmom.
Stepmom?
Yep.
Dorothy.
Yeah, she beckons them in.
Have these names been changed to protect them?
No, I mean, their photos haven't even been changed. I mean, you can see them.
We'll get a Facebook page and get these photos on. We get sued, do you think? Oh, that's fucking... They've sold this story, haven't they? Let's just do it.
Yeah, they got up to £2,000 for every story. So
really?
They're cashing in. Yeah.
Should we see if we can get a story?
Oh, no, I don't see my dad that way.
Well, have you looked at him the right way?
No, right. So basically she says she first walks in through the door. She doesn't know what to expect. But her dad smiled. He was clean shaven. He had slick, combed back hair. He looked really well.
He looked really well.
Really well. Now, if you turn to page 9, you'll see a picture of her dad.
When you say well, you mean looks a bit like a thumb.
This isn't a visual medium, but that's not a bad description.
He's not exactly George Clooney.
Yeah, you know the guy who got done for being a murderer just because he looked weird a few years ago? Kind of that kind
he
of
He could be a murderer, This is probably a picture for another story there.
That's what he looks like. Yeah, so as time passed, she's staying with her dad. He was really great with her kids.
Even though he's not really done it before.
No, he took them to the park for walks along the seafront.
Wow.
Apparently that used to knack Dorothy out.
Dorothy can't handle it.
She'd go to bed early most nights.
How old's Dorothy, do we know?
It doesn't say, but I'm guessing she's...
Because what if Dorothy's like a smoking hot 19-year-old that he's, he's just got himself a younger woman?
No, because if you look at Jenny, she's not a smoking hot 19-year-old. She's no picture herself.
Maybe that was it, one of the real women.
Yeah.
That he was related to.
And they do look very similar. So.
Yeah, well, that's quite egotistical of her to be attracted to him then, surely.
Yeah, so... But anyway, after Dorothy would go to bed, most nights... They'd sit up and chat over a few beers. And one night he goes, so where do you think it all went wrong with Robert? And she just sighed. I think we just fell out of love.
Oh, no.
And that's... As Dad put a supportive hand on mine, I felt my heart flutter. What the... Question mark. Time to hit the hay, I muttered. Sleep tight, he smiled. In bed, my mind raced.
Was do you think she's mental, or that was this actually the way, like, the tone he was using and stuff like that?
I mean, he ended up banging her, so probably.
Oh, man, sorry. I've led you to the end of the story there. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. She was about to hit the hay. He's winking and stuff.
Yeah, In bed, her mind raced. Was I having a breakdown? I couldn't be attracted to my own dad, could I? I felt so confused.
You would have been, yeah.
So then time passes. But back home, I yearned for my father whatever.
A yearning?
She yearned for him.
Is yearning a horny thing?
I think it's, yeah. I think you can have, like, girding loins, yearning.
Yearning. I didn't know yearn was a horny phrase.
I don't know. It's sort of a desire.
We've all yearned before then.
Yeah. So she'd start calling him daily, just to hear the sound of his voice over the phone.
Sweet.
Okay. And she thought about confessing her feelings. But quite rightly, she was worried her dad would be repulsed if he knew the truth.
About the incest, yeah.
About her, yeah.
Some dads would be like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Him not so much by the sound of it.
No. So a few weeks later, she booked a caravan holiday for her, her dad, and the kids.
She's gone big guns here. Where's Dorothy?
See, she made sense of that. She told Dorothy it'd be best to spend some time alone to really get to know her dad.
Yeah, sounds like it.
And Dorothy made perfect sense to her. She said, I completely understand, because Dorothy's a good woman.
Dorothy's the victim here.
Yeah, hold that thought.
Right, okay.
Yeah, Dorothy's got some issues too.
Okay, was she shagging her son?
No, nothing like that, but she's very accommodating. So one night, after one too many bevvies, you know, they're like a Stella, those two.
Yeah,
she cozied up. She cozied up to dad. The kids were asleep after a fun-filled day at the zoo.
Oh.
Where else? There's something I need to tell you, I slurred, alcohol lowering my ambitions. What is it, he asked. I have feelings for you, I blurted.
Yeah, I'm your dad, you twat. Yeah,
there was a shocked silence. Then, I felt the same.
Wow.
With that, I took his hand and led him into the caravan.
There's so many levels of how... romantic this all is.
I think it's getting to erotic, if you ask me.
Right, yeah.
In his room, we undressed each other. We tried to stay quiet so he wouldn't wake the kids.
Is that just because of his age and he can't undress himself?
Yeah.
Possibly. He looks like he's knocking on it there.
Yeah, he's going to struggle with his socks.
He's trying to get his orthopedic shoes off.
Are you sure, Dad whispered as I lay on the bed.
The minute you have to tell that story back saying, are you sure, Dad whispered.
Yeah.
That's where you should be out of that. I don't... And then to sell the story...
I mean, yeah.
He's
it's 2 grand, I know.
It's 2 grand, isn't it? Yeah, people do a lot for money.
Their pictures are everywhere.
This is like the worst would you rather ever.
The pictures of their kids are everywhere. Like, they must be thrilled to bits that their pictures are
there. Yeah, that'd be nice at school.
Yeah, she's just started university now, one of the oldest ones.
Really?
Oh, she can't wait for this for her friends to find out about this.
So, sorry, they're in the caravan.
Oh, so yeah.
She's taking the off-peat shoes off.
Yes, I panted. Pulling him close,
panted.
I am sure. The sex was so passionate that we forgot to use a condom. He was such a gentle lover, and we stayed up chatting till sunrise. I don't regret a thing, he said. Me neither, I purred. And nuzzling him to him happily. But where does this leave us?
I've not read 50 Shades of Grey, but I'd imagine it's quite... Is that as twisted as this? Or?
I don't know, but this is where the dad is now the weird one. What do you mean? We can't be together, I replied. What would people say?
Well,
I don't view you as my daughter, he whispered. You're my soulmate. We'll get past this. So he's in love.
He is, yeah.
I mean...
In a slightly different way than he's probably supposed to be.
Yeah.
But, you know, follow your heart and all that, maybe. And then, isn't it illegal? It is illegal, isn't it?
Yeah. Really illegal,
yes. As it should be.
Properly illegal.
In terms of abuse of trust, that's got to be up there.
Yeah. Dad, I feel bad after breaking up with my husband. Put it in your mouth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I suppose it's a dad, as long as he's got a certain authority. No, finish it. Or you're not getting dessert.
You do not leave the table. You know, because that table probably is a caravan. Remember, we fold the table down, turns into a bed.
Is that what it was? Yeah, I read that, wasn't it? Oh, the kids are going to eat their cocoa pops off that in the morning.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I feel sorry for the kids.
So, yeah, now she tells her kids. So
How old were the kids at this point?
I mean, it says they were 8 and 6.
Okay, so probably not quite old enough to process incest as a thing.
No, I mean, their brows furrowed in confusion, as she told them.
I'm not even sure furrowed in confusion can keep up with that as a thing.
Yeah, but
then... What did she tell them in the morning?
I think, no, after they got back home, she waited a bit, and she explained everything. She wanted to be completely open.
Yeah, but the thing is, I'm starting to think she's actually a bit clingy now. He's had a one-nighter on a holiday. Holiday, right? You take all the incest out of it. That's a holiday romance for him. He said what he's had to say to get it away. And now she's coming a little bit, you know, got a new daddy for you, to the kids.
I mean, who wants that baggage?
Yeah, come on. I mean, I know he's older, but he's got to aim a little bit higher, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of want to see Dorothy. That's the thing.
I'm sure Dorothy wanted no part of this. Oh, you said there's more to it too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sorry, there's a lot more.
Dorothy so far is the victim, but I want to see how this pans out. Yeah.
So basically, at this point, after she told the kids told Nana.
Nana Dorothy?
No, the real Nana. Yeah. Nana rang up Dorothy to say, "Do you know he's banging his daughter?"
Yeah.
The stepmother's reaction was unexpected. "Come and live with us. I'll do anything to keep John."
He's a proper catch, isn't he, is John?
So she was happily to have her living with them while he has sex with his daughter, because she can't face living without him. She's a sturdy girl.
Yeah, she's sturdy, yeah. John likes that, though.
John does. He likes...
John's a fan.
I mean, John, from the looks of it, John likes to look in the mirror and have a wig.
So Dorothy's on board with it. She's going to be out making the tea and stuff while they're at it.
Yeah.
So the daughter's all right with the... She doesn't want him all to herself. She's happy with the compromise.
To be honest, that's kind of skirted over, I think.
Oh, really? I think this is a lot about her. I mean, I won't steal your husband properly. I'll just come stay with you for a bit.
But I think Dorothy then gets kind of pushed aside from the sound. I'm not going to go through it all, because it's weirdly, there's a sort of slow, dull bit in the middle. But then it hots up again.
Oh, still going?
Oh, yeah. She's pregnant by him.
Right. We don't know if he's got kids with Dorothy.
We don't know that. Okay. Doesn't say that.
I mean, this is lazy journalism, in my opinion.
Yeah. And then, months later, we go 9 months. "My waters broke, and Dad rushed me to the hospital where I gave birth to little Jackson. He's perfect," I cooed. "And he's got all his fingers and toes," Dad joked.
Joked. Not relieved. Joked.
Yeah. When a 6-year-old man gets his daughter pregnant, the baby isn't born.
The gene pool's not as strong as you'd hope.
No.
Didn't try for another one, did they?
They didn't try. They succeeded, my friend.
Oh, my God.
Because then little Celeste...
First, you don't succeed.
Then little means. Celeste was conceived.
Celeste.
And Celeste is...
Sounds a bit like incest as well. Do you reckon that's an in-joke?
Celeste is alive and kicking.
Celeste, the incestuous child. That's a storybook.
Yeah, but they were concerned after the previous problems. They went to a midwife and they explained the situation.
Who called the authorities, I'd imagine.
No, not essentially.
Everyone's quite accommodating for this, aren't they?
Yeah. "The midwife's eyes widened, then silently she assessed me."
I bet she did.
"And judged me."
Yeah, judged me, yeah.
Okie dokie. So, miraculously, "the police never tracked us down," is what she says. They settled down and they finally felt like a normal family, but it didn't last long. A year later, the police arrested Dad and me. In time, we appeared in court, charged with 2 counts of incest. I suppose that's one each. I don't know.
One each, yeah. Are they just assuming they only had sex for procreation?
I don't know. That's,
they're the proven ones, I suppose.
Yeah, it's skirted over. So we pleaded guilty, but dodged jail time thanks to the kids. But a court order banned us from having sex.
Right, okay. So they got married, basically.
Yeah. The media got hold of the story, and by morning our snaps were in all the papers. We got a barrage of abuse from our neighbours. "You're sick," they shouted. "It's incest."
Yeah, did they not know this?
No.
They don't seem to know what they've done wrong.
Love conquers all.
Yeah, but even in a normal relationship, if you pushed old poor Dorothy to one side, I think that's a bit harsh.
It is a bit much, yeah. So in time, obviously, the stress of it became too much to bear. People just didn't understand.
No. What do her ex-husband say when he's come pick up his kids from granddad/dad's house?
Yeah.
What does the baby call John? Is that dad and granddad at the same time?
Yeah.
And she's her own kid's sister.
Yeah, she's her mum's sister.
It's her own kid's...
Well, half-sister.
Half-sister, yeah.
Half-mutant.
Of course they haven't got the same mum.
Yeah. So after 9 years together, they threw in the towel.
Just the 9 years? Yeah. I don't mean John's got many more left after that anyway. He's had a good run there, hasn't he?
Yeah, so and that's kind of the end of the story. She's homeschooling Celeste now because
of the abuse that she'll have to live with for the rest of her life.
Because it made it into the papers and she's... She's got a picture in the bottom right hand corner of page 9 of what she looks like. So,
she's shown us what she looks like now, exactly what Celeste looks like, yeah, and sold her story.
But it's okay, because she address withheld, even though it's Jenny Deaves, 47.
I mean, I'd imagine in this day and age of social media, she's got a Facebook page. Her relationship status, it's complicated.
Yeah, but she doesn't regret a thing is the final thing. So, who's the loser?
Yeah, I think society can learn a lot from this.
Now, I don't know. It's not unlucky, but I'm glad it's not me.
You
know what I mean? Is she just unlucky in love?
Unlucky in love, yeah. I think she'll learn from that, though. I mean, maybe move on to an uncle and apply what she's learned.
Yeah, because, I mean, is that because is uncles illegal, or is that kind of just sort of...
I mean, I imagine it's all within the sort of same sort of category of incest, isn't it, to some degree? I've heard people marry cousins.
Like, I mean, like, royal family, for one.
Yeah. You know what you're working with.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she's not offering any advice. She's just sort of letting the world know.
She's just
giving incest a chance, basically.
I'm a scumbag. Give me $2,000.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, yeah. I've got medical bills to pay
up
for.
To $2,000.
So up to $2,000.
I hope she got the full
$2,000. Surely.
I hope she got $2,000 for that.
That's a $2,000. We will give you £87.
Just fill out of love.
See, I was looking at these magazines and I found some... People think they're problems and they're actually getting some sound advice from experts, as they are claimed to be within this particular thing. So I've got Chat, It's Fate.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So within this, I've got... I've gone straight to, I'll be honest, which I found out... I first read the questions and didn't realise it was psychic advice.
It's Fate.
So,
Chat,
yeah,
It's Fate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I thought it was just an absolute fucking nut job to begin with. And then I knew it was psychic advice, read it, and it confirmed it was a fucking nut job.
Yeah.
So, dear Jenny, and the Jenny I'm referring to here is Jenny Smedley, who's a top expert. Psychic
really?
Advice, yeah.
She,
I mean, I don't know.
Does she get on with her dad?
I mean, I don't know, yeah. I don't know all the advice she gives. Right. I don't know what she'd have done with that letter, to be fair. But I'd say there's some issues here in general, going by what she does for a living. But I'm not here to judge. That's exactly what I'm here to do. I'm going to read you this one now.
Okay.
Dear Jenny, why am I such a bossy boots? I'm just not happy unless I'm controlling everything. Now that's a fairly common complaint. I think a lot of men, women can look at their other half and think that's quite a thing maybe. You know, some advice would be sound for that.
Yeah, go for it.
The next part of the question, is, I also have a weird need to go to Sierra Leone. I don't even know where it is. This is Stacey, 24, from London.
Stacey, 24, from London. Sierra Leone, doesn't know where it is.
Doesn't know where it is, but I just also have a weird need, and that's tied in with her being a bit of a bossy boots.
Yeah, I mean, she heard there's a lot of child soldiers and genocide over there. Or...
I suppose they need organisation, yeah. Is what I'm saying. So well, anyway...
what's the advice?
Jenny Smedley has absolutely nailed it here. Dear Stacey, in the 1700s, you were a slave in Sierra Leone, which is in West Africa, which is good of her to point out where it is.
Yeah.
If you can get there... Visit the remains of slave-holding pens. It may be upsetting and you might have spontaneous nasty memories that reduce you to tears, but it will be very healing.
That is... Okay.
I've seen it happen to others who shared that kind of life, which was out of their control. Just make sure you prime yourself to see any memories as a third party, as if you were watching a film, or as if it was all bullshit.
That last bit's yours, isn't it, be honest?
The bullshit bit may be mine, but the film bit was actually hers.
Yeah. The slave pens of Sierra Leone.
But then she actually draws it to a close, beautifully.
Oh, okay.
You'll remember being Haney, a young Ghanaian girl who was forcibly taken to England and then sent to Sierra Leone.
So they sent her back to Africa from England?
Yeah, it sounds pricey.
Yeah.
I don't know if they know what the point of slavery was. Because I don't think it was to just keep sending them on trips.
It seems a long way around. I'm sure Ghana,
you could have cut out of
my geography's right not perfect, but I'm sure it's easier to go from straight there.
Yeah, coming here, it's a bit of a round trip.
Yeah.
That Uber driver's fucked up, isn't he?
Yeah, tourist rates for this one. Haney, you say?
Haney, yeah.
Haney.
A young Ghanaian girl. I like Jenny. She's talented to be able to take that from the information she's got in the letter and just Stacey, 24, London. Because that's all fairly vague.
Does she say how she came to this conclusion or...?
Well, she just knows. She's psychic.
That's true, yeah.
She can do it off... Come on. She can do it just off the letter. There's a few on here I like. So these are quite wide-ranging and I really like it. And Jenny's all over it. She's got advice for everybody. She's straight in. She knows what the issue is. So, dear Jenny, I've realised I can sort people's medical symptoms... and know what they have wrong with them. Is this to do with a past life? Now, that's Valerie, 74, from Didcot.
is her past life, she was a doctor.
I see what you've gone with it. Yeah. She picked up on it, Dan. Done very well. Dear Valerie, you were once a German doctor called Robert.
Yeah.
I mean, there's more to it. You were famous for realising so many illnesses were caused by bacteria. So the person who actually, Robert's pretty vague.
Yeah, is there a real famous German doctor called Robert?
I mean, maybe. Statistically, there is.
Okay.
This one is, again, medical based. Dear Jenny, the idea of getting an STD terrifies me. So much so that I get unreasonably suspicious of things in relationships, like cheating. I think it's fairly okay to be suspicious about cheating.
Okay.
So I mean, the title of it is STDs Make Me Suspicious.
Yeah, so my boyfriend gave me gonorrhea.
Yeah. Is it me being a bit mad thinking that's coming?
Your vagina belonged to a prostitute in a past life, or?
Well, not far off, Dan. Okay. You're getting good at this. We're going to wrap this up pretty quick today.
I think I'm going to sort of take Smedley on her own game.
Someone's making a living doing this. This is what I love about it.
Yeah.
Dear Kathy, that was Kathy, 45 from Brighton, sorry.
Okay.
Dear Kathy, you had STD several times in past lives. She's 45 and maybe in the current life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It could be it. It's really tragic because none were self-inflicted. Can you self-inflict an STD?
Like an AIDS monkey? I don't know.
Well, you didn't wash that dildo out properly. You've got to sterilise it, you dirty bitch.
I don't know. Yeah, sorry, that's lost me, self-inflicted STD.
I hadn't read the answer for this, but it does get a little bit darker after that, as the subject of STDs can do.
Yeah.
I mean, you think she's trying to go on for impact here, because the picture she's got next to this is a strung-out prostitute in an alleyway, which... it's sort of implying that's the only way you can get an STD. But it's nice. But I've just realised that Stacey from London, her thing is a woman with a headscarf with a basket on her head. So they're really playing with stereotypes here, aren't they?
I mean,
breaking through the glass ceiling.
You can't be too subtle. Like, people won't get it. You need to really hammer the head shape. You know, sort out your past lives now. Like, it's a ticking time bomb.
Jenny, she's done a cracking job there. Well, I'm sure we will find her stories as we go forward as well. Right, so this is more psychic advice, but this is more aura related.
Oh. Okay.
Do you know much about auras, Dan?
I mean, I don't. Can you enlighten me? Is there a helpful thing saying what is an aura?
No, but there is sort of a colour chart on the things, which apparently is quite important. Now, I saw a story here. As a pet owner myself, I thought this could be handy to know what this kind of thing is. So, dear Katie, that's Katie. She's not committing to a surname on here, but she's stamped down as a top expert.
Okay.
Dear Katie, Freya, my puppy, has started chewing things if she's left alone, including my glasses. That's Ruth, 51, from Oxford.
Yeah.
So what advice would you say for someone like that? If it wasn't aura related, what would you say?
I'd say pick your glasses up, you lazy cow. You
know, that'd be one disaster.
It's a dog,
averted.
It chews stuff. Like,
okay, yeah.
Rub them in chili, I don't know.
Okay, Freya, showing Freya's immature. She becomes bored quickly, then she chews to alleviate this feeling. Exercise her regularly and create a den that contains chew toys. She'll grow out of it if tackled now. Pretty normal advice, but what I left off at the beginning of that is the pink and purple in Freya's aura are what points to her immaturity. Now, I say I left that out and that was sound advice for what the problem was. Pink but she's been aura. Led to it because of the pink and purple in her aura.
Well, that's why she's a top expert. I mean, you could have come out and rest that stuff, but we wouldn't have no idea about pink and purple.
We wouldn't
purple
know if we were right.
I mean, how do you gauge this Freya's aura? I mean, is there a picture accompanying it?
There is a picture, but what she's done is colouring around the dog purple and pink.
Do you know what, it does look like someone's got a felt tip pen and gone around it, yeah.
Yeah, I'll put that on the Facebook page, but I don't think that's an actual picture of the dog, i.e. that was what it was radiating.
Yeah.
I suppose Katie sees this stuff because she's an expert and we don't, so she's kind of...
Top expert.
So she's sort of dropped it like that to make it easier to deal with.
But she's not a top expert.
Is she not a top expert? My bloke was thinking about proposing 2 years ago, but he's changed his mind as I've got some problems.
Fair enough.
I've thought of leaving, but I love him so deeply. That's Deborah, 49, location withheld. Now, obviously, the best advice for this really is... straight in, no messing around, Katie here. She just says, the three crystals you need are...
Okay.
Rose quartz to strengthen your relationship. Stick that by the bed.
Yeah.
Sardonyx for commitment. Put that under your pillow. and blue lace agate for communication and serenity. Just carry that round. That's all of the advice she gets for fixing a relationship.
I mean, I tried that once. It worked out fine.
Did it? Okay. Yeah, yeah. Right. Do you know Katie?
Yeah. The agate, that I have that in my pocket at all times. My phone won't work without it.
Some of these are brilliant. I do one more because I read this earlier. And I'm psychic advice. This is Barry John, another top expert. Goes without saying. They wouldn't take a chance with an amateur on here. Award-winning TV medium Barry John, who appears on Most Haunted, This Morning, GMT, the right GMTV, The Right Stuff, and BBC Radio.
What awards did he win? He left that off, hasn't he?
It could be like his 25-meter swimming badge from an Indy store or something like that. Colouring in at Pontins. Right. I don't want to be sensationalist with this. It's not what this podcast's about, all right? But
down-to-earth people.
Yeah, exactly. This is for the everyday person in the street, just need a bit of a perk up. Now, this story is it's quite a small story, but I had some things that instantly popped into my head as to what the problem was. My grandson is too scared to sleep in his own bed. He says that something keeps poking him to wake him up.
I mean... Is that it? That's
the problem. Yep.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't automatically think to go to a psychic about that. I don't know about you.
Is he using a yew tree to poke him? Poke's quite sort of ill-defined, isn't
it? I think
it?
That was the point for me, yeah. Where it's nudged him or whatever, but the poking is what's made me uncomfortable with it all. Because Grandad's not mentioned here.
No.
But at least Barry John's got the right advice. He says, this could be common spirit occurrence.
Yeah, common. Yeah.
Common, yeah, yeah. Place a bowl of water and an amethyst next to the bed. I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's like a little crystal thing again.
Another crystal. Yeah, it's very crystal-based, this. I think, so you got to put that by the bed. One or both of you should thank them for coming to visit, but ask them firmly to move on. It's time to leave the house alone. Yeah, Grandad, fuck off.
Yeah.
Right, this isn't right.
One or both. Stop. Yeah, stop poking me at night. Yeah.
Hang on. Was that John?
Yeah.
He's single all of a sudden, isn't he?
I'm ready to mingle, isn't he?
Single and ready to mingle, yeah. Again, sticking with psychic advice. It's all psychic advice, actually. I don't know why it has to all be psychic advice.
Maybe you were a psychic in a past life.
Maybe that's it, and I've just pulled it out of the thing. Yeah. So she's not quite got the background or the CV as Barry in the last one, but Kirsten Riddle, that's a cool name, though.
Yeah, definitely.
The answers are pretty fucking ridiculous. Magical expert Kirsten Riddle is on national and local radio and runs UK workshops. Her book, Everyday Witchcraft, is out now. I mean, I'm sure we'll be looking that up.
I think I've got it, actually.
Probably have, yeah. Is that spontaneous witchcraft or weekend witchcraft, not everyday witchcraft?
I got the cheap one, everyday value witchcraft.
Everyday value witchcraft, yeah. Every day's a big commitment when you've got a job. So again, she's straight in with, I won't do any more of these, this is the last one. Should I marry my boyfriend? I'm not sure he's right for me. That's Anya, 28, from Northampton.
Definitely, what could go wrong?
Definitely what could go wrong. I mean, that's a pretty common thing. Bit of, you know, a bit of panic. Am I in the right relationship? She's coming up to 30. She's not sure if it's the right thing for her.
Yeah, clock's ticking.
Exactly. So this is actually a sound question to ask anybody.
Is it a magical question, though? Because that's what I'm pondering.
It doesn't feel that magical to me. Now, Kirsten's just taking on the, you know, how serious this is. Because, you know, who's to say that Annie's going to break up with her boyfriend, meet the right man the next day? This could be it. It could be another 5 years before she meets someone. Could be 2 years, whatever. So what's actually going to happen here is... Kirsten has come up with sound advice for Anya. Dear Anya, take 2 dried bay leaves and a fireproof bowl. On one leaf, write yes, and on the other, no. Burn geranium-scented oil to balance your emotions and visualise your wedding day. Do you see yourself with him? Do you feel happy? Ask the question out loud. Should I marry my boyfriend? Drop each leaf in turn into the bowl with a lit match. The leaf that burns the longest is the answer.
It's fucking ridiculous, isn't it?
Right, that's good advice, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, that's...
That sounds like it's gone a bit Blue Peter in terms of the preparation involved.
It's a lot of effort, isn't it?
And, like, what I don't get is that it's difficult for anybody in a relationship to know that it's the right thing forever, because there's always going to be bits that annoy you, you know. But how is that the answer? Maybe just like write a list, you know. Does he hit you? Does he support you? Is he nice to you? Isn't, you know what I mean? Is there a spark there?
Yeah.
I don't know when bay leaves came into it.
I mean, you do put a bay leaf in pretty much anything, it proves it.
That's true, yeah. Could you tie it in with making a lasagna?
Yeah.
What else you got?
It's all kind of bleak stuff, but then like, is there?
Give me a favourite headline you've seen.
I gave birth on Pontin's dance floor.
Okay, that's cool.
Pushed from a plane with no parachute. Doc swapped my little boy for a girl. Then came another bombshell.
Well, that sounds like a good one. Where'd you go with that?
I think it
turns out the baby was her dad's.
I think it gets a bit horrible.
A lot of them do, don't they?
There's a lot of this stuff you're like, oh, it's funny. And then you read, like, no, that's not funny.
Yeah. They make a profit out of fucking doom mongering, don't they? My favourite one I saw was Hook, Line, and Stinker, My Fishy Shame.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I mean, I won't go into it because this sounds like a proper medical condition, but straight away, I was reading it, and this poor woman basically smells of fish the minute she starts sweating. It's an actual condition. She smells like fish, and she works in a hospital, so cleanliness is quite an important thing.
Yeah.
But I kind of, it's had it her whole life, and unfortunately, which no one could have foreseen when this poor girl was born, but she was called Kelly, so at school, obviously she was automatically Smelly Kelly.
Yeah.
Which, that's just playing right into their hands. I know no one could have told that, but that's I mean, it is about fate, this magazine. I think it's brilliant, but she said her husband, she's married and stuff like that. He's really supportive. Hubby Michael, 45, says, when we were living together at the start, I did notice the smell, but it was never a problem. Kelly wasn't that confident when I first met her. I think the best way of helping her with her condition is to just be supportive, which is amazing. She said a friend at work, who really helps her out, basically texts her through the day if the smell's got too bad.
How far away does she sit?
It's quite a thing by the sound of it.
It's a proper smell. It's not like it's a vague whiff of it. She's full on fishmonger.
This is fishmonger smell. Every time she sweats, apparently it's a real condition. Sometimes it can smell like onions.
I'll be honest. My message says occasionally my armpit smell a bit oniony. Yeah, not so much the strangers laugh at me in the street or anything. But,
okay, yeah, occasionally, yeah.
But a bit of the onion.
Maybe. not so much fish.
You know.
But she's had a tough life by the sound of it, but she's just getting on with it. Keeping a sense of humour has turned my life around.
Okay, good. It's laugh or cry, I suppose, isn't it?
I think, but she's put people into an awkward situation there, because the real way to deal with this is she said basically everyone at work kept talking about her and stuff like that. So she sat everyone down and spoke to them and explained her condition, so that they wouldn't be funny with her. That's not a very British thing to do. What she should do is get on with it within her own misery and let them take the piss behind her back.
Yeah, and just assume it's a vagina.
Yeah, you've stolen what was a beautiful, beautiful, you know, misconception about what's wrong with you.
Yeah, that office had so much fun with that, didn't
they? Yeah, at Christmas party, they're all around the punch bar, whatever, by the photocopy, wherever they do it, and taking it. Poor Smelly Kelly. He's getting it. They're all speculating, especially when it's unfortunate it's fish.
Yeah, that's kind of...
It's unfortunate, if we're honest, because, you know...
She smelled like ham, it'd be all right, but fish...
Ham smell?
Yeah.
She smelled like bacon. She'd be the most popular woman in there.
Yeah, people would be licking her.
Yeah. Lick Smelly Kelly, she smelled like bacon. Yeah. That'd be amazing. I love bacon.
It's never a positive smell, is it?
No, I wouldn't have said so, not fish.
No.
Right. So what we decided to do on the show also is to finish on a bit of a high note. Smelly Kelly was not the high note. She turned her life around through her sense of humour, but I think we can go out higher than this. So I've come up with a story from here.
Raise me up. Come on.
Raise you up. I don't know what it's like for copyrights and stuff, but you raise me up. We can have that in the background. Flying without wings, that sort of thing. Which is fucking appropriate for this one.
Okay.
All right. So I saw the headline. Healed by a unicorn.
Okay, I'm in.
And I automatically like this woman. It's, well, now you go to the page and first they've written Horn of Plenty.
Okay.
What's that in reference to? What's that a play on?
No idea.
Okay, just Amanda Donnelly, 50.
Unless it's really obvious. Sorry, it could be really obvious. Everyone's going, yeah, it's that thing, mate. But
yeah, well, I'm telling you about a unicorn, so get back in your fucking box. Or okay. I'm bringing the joy here. Bringing the joy. Right. This is amazing. So she was very unhappy with her life. She had an office job. Didn't like it at all. And how she got through the day, basically, it was a bit sketching.
Okay.
A bit of drawing, stuff like that. She normally, instinctively drew angels. It made her so happy and calm. Truth be told, working in an office wasn't where my heart was. I was far more fascinated with spiritual things. But that day, as my pencil moved, it wasn't an angel that appeared. Instead, it was a unicorn. Strange, I muttered.
That she'd drawn a unicorn?
Yeah, with her own hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, whilst conscious, yeah.
Okay.
It was as if my hand was guided by an outside force. Yeah, the voices in your head, I'd imagine, Amanda. So at home that night, I coloured the unicorn's wings with yellow, pink and blue. My mind went back to 2 months earlier when I'd been sending healing to a group of people during a meditation session. They're not really tackling that as a thing.
No, that's just out there, yeah.
That's a throwaway comment in Amanda's world. Suddenly a white unicorn had appeared in my vision. Well, I didn't understand the significance of it.
Is this because she's looking at a picture of a unicorn?
Oh no, this was when she was sending the healing. She hadn't been affected by an outside force.
Sorry.
Drawn the unicorn by then. Keep up, Dan.
Yeah.
You have no idea how spiritual things work, clearly.
No.
I didn't understand the significance at that point, but I carried on with the session. As I did, I'd been bathed in pure, clear light as the unicorn stepped inside me.
Stepped in? I mean,
I've seen a video about this sort of thing years and years ago, but I don't think it was a unicorn. It was more horsey.
I think that fella died, didn't he?
Yeah, sad. We should have a moment's silence for the real heroes.
Is it sad I know his name?
Yeah, and a little bit creepy.
Yeah. Well, I know his internet name. Not his real, he's not like Bob Smith, but...
You know his address, I'm going to start freaking out. Right, then it had started sending powerful healing energy via its horn. I don't know if that's a euphemism. Amanda seems pretty spiritualised by all this. And I realised it was doing that through me. That was incredible, I gasped when it finished the meditation. Because of the horn.
She gasped.
She gasped after the horn. Oh,
she had so much horn, she gasped.
So much horn. We're children. Something special was happening. I'd often held angel workshops at my home, which involved group meditation and drawing angel cards. It allows folk to find their spiritual path and meet like-minded people. So it's a bit like a
scam, a cult,
a cult, yeah. Mental health hospital without the, you know, the official people there chasing them down.
A lot of people in sandals, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. So anyway, obviously the next logical step there for Amanda is she's decided to hold a unicorn one, in which we'd focus meditation on unicorns using unicorn oracle cards. I don't know what that is, but I'm going to buy some. While I waited for guests to arrive, I pinned the picture of the unicorn on the wall. Now, there's a picture of the unicorn here, and it's fucking shit. She's not blessed with the art gift.
That's all right.
Mate, if you're going to base your life around something you've drawn, at least draw something good.
I mean, it's not drawing profile, which is the hard way. It's drawing her head off.
Face on. What are you talking about? That's a difficult draw, a horse.
Yeah, it is one of the hardest things.
She's proved that.
But that's not a horse, that's a unicorn.
Yeah, well, I mean, come on. It's just, I mean, horses are real, aren't they?
Let's have another look.
I'm going to put this on the Facebook page.
Yeah, it's kind of a rat-looking unicorn. But it's better than I can do. I mean,
you're not basing your life around what the unicorn told you with his magical horn.
Well, no, but I was all ready to shit on that, but that's not bad. Okay, I don't know what art is, but I know what I like.
It's Christmas sorted.
Yeah.
During the workshop, I was meditating when a male voice spoke in my head.
Oh.
Kill them all. No, he didn't. By the way, my name's Rainbow, it said.
Rainbow.
Yeah, this is the voice of the unicorn that she drew but didn't know she drew. Now she's created a voice for it as well. It's all pretty normal so far.
Yeah.
It was the unicorn I'd drawn.
Of course.
That must have been why I'd felt a pull to fill in its wings in rainbow colours. Somehow, I'd known its name.
That's creepy, isn't it?
What are the odds that you knew the name of the unicorn that you drew and named?
And made off.
Yeah. In the following months, I realised the chronic asthma that had plagued me for years had got so much better. I'd been using powerful inhalers every day and had to take tablets too. Now I barely needed either. That's when it hit me. The unicorn that had stepped into me to send healing hadn't just helped the people, it had healed me. And that wasn't the only thing that had changed. Feeling more confident, I gave up my office job to follow my spiritual path. Now I run my own spiritual shop and therapy room. Among the services I offer are unicorn oracle readings, angels heal at the heart level, unicorns heal at the soul level. Something profound happened when I encountered Rainbow. It totally changed my health, career and life. The picture of Rainbow is still on the wall in my therapy room. When I look at it, I'm reminded how fucking mental I am.
She's a genius. This is a full page ad for her services.
And these are the people that are going to do it, aren't they?
Yeah. I think she knows what she's doing.
She's found her market.
She can draw a unicorn. She knows advertising.
Yeah, we're the stupid ones.
Yeah.
That's at least you're not me this week.
Yeah.
I'd like to think you've found it helpful. Realise your day isn't so bad if you're not trapped in a incestuous relationship with a unicorn.
Yeah.
Telling you what to do.
And basically any problems, just get a crystal.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Unicorns are the way forward, though. That's the way to turn your life around. And any problems in the meantime, obviously bay leaves, crystals, and big up Smelly Kelly.
Big up Smelly Kelly.
All right, we'll see you next time.